This is an exciting day. This is something that I've never gotten a chance to do or see or be a part of. And so we're going to look into God's word briefly, but then we're going to really focus on the prayer and the commissioning aspect and sending Ezekiel to the mission field. We'll be turning to Matthew 28, which he's already quoted in his video, and we'll be reading a few verses there. Before I start reading, let me kind of give you some thoughts, but you can go ahead and turn. God both chooses and sends. He sends and chooses men and women of the Bible and men and women today. You can think back throughout history. Abraham and Sarah, Joseph, Moses, Jeremiah, Esther, John the Baptist, Peter and Paul, and so many others. They all had lives marked by a clear sense of being. They knew who they were because God called them and sent them. Jesus, too, was called and sent into this world. At the beginning of his mission in the synagogue of Nazareth, he read from the book of Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. He has sent me." And as he approached the end of his life, he says in John 16:5, "Now I am going to him who sent me." And then he rose again from the dead and he commissioned his disciples. In John 20:21, he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Being called and sent by God is the essence of mission. So if you're in Matthew 28, I'm going to read from the end of verse 18 through the end of the book. And I'll be reading from the New English Translation. Here's what Jesus says. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." You know, I think maybe we lose a sense of what a commissioning is. It's not a word that we tend to use in everyday language. Calling makes sense to us. We know what that means. So I want to give a little definition for us. The divine calling involves God calling individuals and groups of people to be faithful to him and to serve him in various ways. This includes the calling of Israel from God to be his people, the calling of people to faith in him, and individuals to particular missions to certain tasks that he had set them out to do. The Hebrew words, I'm not going to try to pronounce them, the Hebrew word to call is used in a sense of naming something. So like at the very beginning when Jesus calls the light day, or God calls the light day and the darkness night, that's the word we're talking about. And he uses that same word to say that Adam named the animals. But that's not just the meaning. It also has the idea, the sense of summoning. For example, immediately after the fall, God calls out to Adam. He summons him. "Where are you?" And in the New Testament, the various aspects of God's call are reiterated in the words used there. For example, Jesus was called the Christ. That's a title. He also called his disciples. He summoned them. And believers are called to salvation and holiness. So there's a central theme in the Bible about God's summoning voice. That's what his call is. He calls people to be his own. And this started with Abraham way back in the Old Testament, continues into his calling of the people of Israel, and it's now realized today by his calling to the church. And what he's really doing is his voice is calling us out of a state of fallenness and into a state of divine grace. Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah was in the throne room presence of God, and he saw the holiness and the majesty of God, and God says, or he says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And Isaiah replies, 'I am here, send me.'" And that's the response that we need to give, to be ready. God has called prophets, he's called apostles, he's called teachers, he's called evangelists, he's called you and me. And he's called us to commission us, to send us somewhere. Because those two ideas are linked together. That was true for the Old Testament, and that's true for us. In the New Testament, when Jesus called the 12 disciples, he then designated them as apostles. Apostles are messengers, people to send out. He sent them to preach. He commissioned them. So what is this mission that he calls everyone to? In our passage, it's the command to go make disciples. disciples of Jesus Christ are called to preach the gospel and train up a new generation of believers. I'm going to quote from a book I've been reading. Here's what it says. Many times in history, churches that were great and powerful disappeared because they lost the sense of mission. They became so identified with their culture that they lost any sense of mission to it, any ability to be prophetic in the name of Jesus Christ. At other times, they became so absorbed by the routine of their own needs and interests that they lost a vision for the needs of others for whom they could have been God's messengers. And that's a scary warning, that we would lose the sense of mission. He continues, mission exists because God is a missionary God who sends his people to be a blessing to all of humankind. Mission begins in the heart of God. As Jephunneh was already saying, this is not our job. This is not our glorifying of Ezekiel. This is God's call. This is God's mission. It's his initiative to which we respond. If Christian mission is first and foremost God's mission, Christians must always conduct missions in an attitude of humility and dependence on him. When human dimensions of the missionary task overtake and determine the way in which it's conducted, the mission becomes a human activity and it lacks any redemptive power. So yes, this morning we are commissioning Ezekiel Vanderdecker to the mission field, but in reality, God is the one who's already done that. We're just affirming that he's done that. We're agreeing with him. Somewhere in the jungles of Papua New Guinea, he has a task for someone to complete. And he called out, and Ezekiel is answering that call. So what about us? What about us here in Chelsea, Michigan? Emmanuel Bible Church believes in missions. That's why we're doing this today. We wanted to set this time aside because this is important. This is an exciting opportunity. This is why we meet as a church, to go, to declare the gospel. And if you think about the first call to those 11 men, do you think that Jesus was saying those 11 men were meant to accomplish the whole mission by themselves? Could they have possibly done it in their entire lifetimes? No way. The world's too big. As was said in the video, we have a body of Christ, multiple people behind this mission to accomplish it. And Jesus is speaking to all believers in every age who should take up the same work. And that's why we're here. We're called and we're sent to continue this great commission. So let's look briefly at the words that Jesus spoke in Matthew 28. Many of you who have been in church before will not be surprised by this, but the main verb, the main thrust of this passage is to make disciples, right? And in fact, in most English translations, the word go is first. And so the tendency is to believe that the call, the command is to go. But if all we're doing is going, then we're missing the point behind what he wants us to accomplish. And that's to make more disciples. But the problem is, if we ignore the call to go, then we're sitting around waiting for someone to come to us, and that doesn't happen. So, and in the past, I've actually preached this before, that you could translate that as we go, or while you're going, to make disciples. And that's not necessarily wrong, but it's not holding to the thrust of what's being said. Because in this context, he's saying there are nations around the world that need to hear the gospel, and you can't do that from an armchair. You have to go. And so Jesus is speaking to 11 men on a hilltop, but they are disciples of his. They represent all future disciples. And so this call is binding on all of Jesus' disciples to make what they themselves are, disciples of Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be disciple-making disciples. What's really interesting that I found about this passage in Matthew, and I'm borrowing a lot from D.A. Carson, so if I was presenting this to a professor as a paper, I would probably get in trouble for plagiarism. So just to give you full disclosure. D.A. Carson did a lot of research on Matthew. He's a great commentator. What's interesting about Matthew's gospel is now in the final verses, he's reintroducing or wrapping up the arguments by going back to the very first verse where Abraham is the father through which the Messiah comes. And through him, all peoples on the earth are now going to be blessed in the fulfillment of Jesus Christ. And in fact, that promise that he makes to Abraham in Genesis 18, if you were to use the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's the exact same words that he uses here. All the nations. It's the same words. So the aim of Jesus' disciples is to make disciples of all men everywhere without distinction, no matter color, creed, or culture. It does not matter who they are. Everybody. We are supposed to go to everyone. And in fact, the New Testament could hardly even conceive. Let's move on to verse 19, where he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The way we're supposed to do this is by committing them to his work. And the New Testament could not even conceive of a person who would not be baptized, not be instructed. That would make no sense. That would not be making disciples. This required that baptism and instruction follows. Those who become disciples are baptized into the name of the Trinity. It's a sign into the entrance of his community, and it's a pledge of submission to his lordship. And under his lordship, we're taught the content of his instruction, of Jesus' commands. Not just the Old Testament law, which is important, but the commands of Jesus, because he fulfills the Old Testament law. It also means that we are following his teaching because it's never going to go out of style, right? The tendency is to think that because it's old, we need to replace it. Jesus' teachings never gets old. It's always important. It's always forceful. It's always true. Everything he's commanded must be passed along because he's the one saying it. It follows then that by passing on everything that Jesus taught the disciples, the first ones being eyewitnesses of Jesus, call into new generations of ear witnesses, people that continue the message, and they pass it on to the next generation. And so there's a succession of the teachings of Jesus passed down, and that's why we have God's word here today, because faithful disciples of Christ have passed it on. And that's actually a huge part of the work that's done in the mission field, getting the word of God to the people in their language. And we're always just one generation away from utter failure if someone doesn't go. We all have to be responsible to pass on the teachings of Christ. Because by internal necessity, our faith will decay if we do not teach Jesus' commands. So failure to disciple, baptize, and teach the peoples of the world is already itself one of the biggest failures of our own discipleship. It shows that we're not good disciples. But you'll notice here that the gospel doesn't end with a command. It ends with a promise. As Ezekiel quoted in the video, the promise is Emmanuel, God with us. He's not going to leave you alone. To the very end of the age. This is not just the near future or the horizon in view. This is each and every day as we live it, continuing all throughout history. God is always present, and his mission will be accomplished because he is behind it. His authority is behind it. So Matthew ends his gospel with the expectation of continuing mission and teaching. In the light of the cross, the empty tomb, the triumphant vindication and exaltation of the risen Lord, the final chapter is being written in the mission and teachings of Jesus' disciples. And that's us. We are the disciples of Jesus. We are here because others before have given us the teachings, the baptism, and we're here to continue that mission. So at this time, I want to call up Ezekiel, the elders, the missions committee, and we're going to gather around him. And as has already been said, I want to reiterate, while you guys come on up on the stage, it's okay, is that this is an affirmation of what God's doing, all right? We're here to recognize the call of God on Ezekiel's life to make disciples. All right. So before we go on, couple of words are going to be spoken by some dear friends of his. We're going to start with Carl and then Patrick.
I just want to tell you how I met Ezekiel. About 8 years ago, we were meeting as a church in Beach Middle School. Like this, a cafeteria, okay? But Beach Middle School was in session, so we had to set up every Sunday morning, take down every Sunday afternoon. So it took a lot of manpower, set up the Sunday school rooms, the nursery, the worship center, the technology stuff. And I was familiar with New Tribes, Ethnos 360, formerly known as New Tribes, in Jackson, because Nate Utsi, he and I had a relationship, and I'd been there several times with Nate, been there several times. And I got to the point where probably maybe it had been a beach about 2 years, and we were just getting, the same setup crew was just getting fatigued, setting up, taking down. And I said, we need some young blood helping us do this. So my story is how I met Ezekiel for a very selfish reason. We needed young worker bees, okay, you know, to help us set up and take down at beach. And Nate Utsi said to me, well, why don't you go to the church fair day at New Tribes, and maybe you can recruit some people there, all right? I'd never been to a church fair day before, so my wife Priscilla and I went there. And all these other churches in the hallway had been obviously doing this for years. They had fancy poster boards, you know, and they had, you know, they brought their own tables, you know, and everything was fancy. I'm sure this isn't that accurate, but I know the two things we brought for sure was a gallon of cider, three things, a gallon of cider, paper cups, and a box of donuts. And that's about all we had. You know, and some people came by and stuff, and all of a sudden I see this guy. He's got that same smile he's got today. He's had it ever since I met him. And I don't know, we just hit it off. I said, I was up front. We're here because I need worker bees. I need younger worker bees to help us, you know, set up. But the one thing I told him was that we are very, very strong Bible church. We adhere to the Bible. That is our guiding force, is the Bible. What we do, we're not perfect, but what we do is we operate based on what the Bible says. That's what the way we try to operate. We're always a work in progress. But that was our, to me, that was our, the one thing I had brought besides the cider and donuts was my commitment to our church and what we do at our church. And anyway, we hit it off, and I'm trying to think of, that was probably 5 years ago, six years ago. And ever since then, you know, he's taught Sunday school here. He led the youth group. I think we jointly taught with maybe a couple other New Tribe students, taught Sunday school together for a year. And his smile, his enthusiasm has never changed, nor has his commitment to serve God in Papua New Guinea ever wavered on him. Never wavered. He's incredibly talented, could do a lot of things, but he was set from day one. That's what he wanted to do. That's what he felt God had called him to do. And I think, you know, he's going to do great, mighty things for God over there. But we as a church, I think, we're going, Dave and I are in this group right now with several other churches meeting with the Ethnos 360's media communication director. And she's telling, we're all buzzing around about how we can better relate to our missionaries, be more involved in their lives, to make them stronger, and in turn make us as a stronger church being able to support these people. And I just think we as a church, we all have Ezekiel's personality lends to very good relationships. He's developed with a lot of people here. He's now going to be 8,000, 10,000 miles away. We're going to have to reinvent our ways to keep that relationship going. We can certainly pray for him. We know that. But in terms of contacting him, we're going to develop ways, and part of our committee, we're going to, not just Ezekiel, but our other missionaries, we're going to develop ways to better communicate with our missionaries. So once not out of sight, out of mind, they're always going to be in our minds. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun because Ezekiel is just such a, you know, a vibrant personality. I mean, look. Anyway.
Be vibrant. Go.
Yeah.
Show us that.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun engaging with him when he's that far away. And like I said, we're gonna put stuff out for how we can all do that. You know, whether it's by email, you know, talk to him, text him. I text Nate Utsi now, and we talk once in a while on the phone, but We do a lot of texting, but anyway, it's going to be great to be in contact with him. I think we need to do that for Ezekiel. It's going to be a long way away, and we can keep this strong relationship we have built here with Ezekiel by staying in contact with him.
So I've had the pleasure of getting to know Ezekiel not only through IBC, but through our Young Adult Bible Study. We started the Young Adult Bible Study, I think, 7 years ago, and you showed up maybe a year or so later. And ever since, whenever Ezekiel has been in Chelsea, he's been able to attend very faithfully to our Young Adult Bible Study, and it's just been such an encouragement to have him in the group. One of the positives aspects to come out of the whole pandemic is that our group has actually started meeting virtually, so we've actually been able to have Ezekiel on in Georgia and even Eric Mathis, who's traveling abroad, on our Bible study. So it's been cool to see how that is, how that's been shaped. Ezekiel, you've just been such an encouragement to our young adult Bible study, and I just wanted to return the favor and just share a few qualities that I really admire and that I think that our group has really benefited from in getting to know you, and I think will serve you very well in PNG. One thing that stands out to me is your work ethic. Anyone who knows Ezekiel knows that he is a hard worker. When he was here, he was involved in youth group. He was involved in the men's Bible study. Like I said, our own Bible study. If there was ever a chance to serve, Ezekiel was serving, and he really has a servant's heart. Oftentimes, when we would meet for our virtual Bible studies the last 8 or 9 months, we meet at about 8 o'clock, and he might be a few minutes late, but it would be because he had been landscaping in Georgia the entire day, and then he was trying to scarf down his food at the very beginning, but he was still always committed, and just his faithfulness to the group has really stood out. Another aspect that I really appreciate about you, Ezekiel, is just your joyful attitude, and I think Carl was kind of getting at that. And it's just joy that I don't think the outside world understands, because it's something that, it's not situational, it's permanent. And for Ezekiel, I know whenever he came on to our Bible studies, I knew we were going to have a deeper, more vibrant, richer discussion because of him. And like I said, even some of the tough situations that I've seen you go through in the last year, thinking about your grandma passing, and just, I know there's pain there, but in seeing your joyful attitude and knowing that she's in heaven and celebrating that, along with, for goodness sake, your car caught on fire, and I don't think I heard you say anything even negative about that situation. It was still an attitude of, I know. He did manage to save his tires. I remember that. And that situational thinking, but just that joyful attitude of knowing that God is going to provide and just looking for an opportunity to see God work his life, even in a stressful, frustrated situation like that. I know I wouldn't have handled it that well, but another aspect I really appreciate about you, Ezekiel, is just that you're such an encourager. Oftentimes, I have to run out of church fairly quickly with kids and whatnot, and we have short conversations, and even in those short conversations, I've always left that discussion being very encouraged by you. We often have a prayer thread going for our young adult group as well. And I know if there's ever a prayer request that comes up, I know that Ezekiel's praying and that he's often the first to respond to that prayer request as well and inquire further about it. One of the last things I just wanted to bring up is just your self-confidence in who you are in Christ, too. It's very attractive. And I don't mean that in a arrogant way or a prideful way. I think you have a humble attitude, but you're confident in who you are in Christ. And that you're redeemed, and because of that you stand out. And it's something that I think the outside world wants to know, what is different about you? I want to go to him to understand, why is he different? And I think that's going to be just such a positive trait for you when you go over to PNG. So I just want to encourage you, just continue developing those traits. And like I said, I really think that you're just going to stand out and that people really want to know you because Jesus is so evident in your life. Our church and our Bible study group is certainly going to miss you. We love you. And we are just so excited to see what God's going to do in and through you over there. And we are definitely going to be committed to praying for you every step along the way. Thank
you. I'd like to share a little bit. The Lord brought something to my attention this morning from Luke. It says the 72 returned. Jesus sent 72 out, just like we're sending Ezekiel out. And they were amazed at how the demons even responded to them. And Jesus clarified for them, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you," and you'll probably have spiritual battles over there. "But rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And when the tough times come, Ezekiel, I want to encourage you to remember your name is written in heaven. And that is your foundation. And we, this church, stand behind you. We're committing this morning to pray for him regularly, continually, to lift him up because the battles will be real. And we're committing to continue our financial support and make sure you're able to do the work without that fear. I encourage our church body to do that. And one more thing we can do. Ezekiel's going to PNG, to a mission field he does not yet know. And doesn't know where he's going to be. But the Lord will lead him. What can we do? We can remember that we are in a mission field here. We are covering this home base, individually and personally, talking with your family and friends. We can support him best as we do the work that we can do, that the Lord gives to us. So in those three things, our prayers, our financial support, and our efforts to be missionaries here in our home community are so important to supporting him. And I wanted to remind you of that this morning. May God bless you.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you. Now this time we're going to put Ezekiel in the middle. We're going to lay hands on him in a nice way and pray for him as we commission him to the mission field. So Ezekiel, come on up here.
Heavenly Father, what an amazing day this is. What a privilege to be in your house, to worship you, Lord, and to partake in this special service, Father, as we lift Ezekiel up to you. Father, affirming the calling you have in his life and the direction you have. Father, we just ask that you go before Ezekiel. In your sovereignty and reveal your plan for him in all the details, because you're involved in the details, Lord. And so as he travels, as he acclimates, as they form the mission team, as they determine where he should go, Father, may they just seek your will and seek your direction. And again, Lord, we just we commit him to you. And we pray for him, and we just ask that you would remind us, as Rod said so appropriately this morning, our responsibility as members of this local body, partaking in sending, our responsibility to Ezekiel. And Lord, we just praise you in Jesus' name.
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, just thank you for Ezekiel and just the wonderful friend he's been, and just the servant he has been to this, to you, but to this church, Lord, and just the impact he's had here. I just pray for him in these coming months that you would help him to be patient as he awaits for the necessary steps to be completed, and I just pray you would be protecting that passport and every step along the way so that he can get to PNG by January. And Lord, I just pray that you would be opening up the hearts and just preparing the hearts for that village in PNG that he's going to go to with that team, Lord, and just that they would be receptive and that they would be hungry to hear your word, Lord. And I just pray for Ezekiel that you give him safety as he goes over there, Lord. And I just I thank you for that team, Lord, and I pray for this church that you would just help us to be committed to praying for Ezekiel and staying involved in his life, Lord. I just thank you for all of this in your name. Amen.
Holy Father, Lord, Lord, I thank you so much for Ezekiel and for the example that he's set for so many young people and old as well here as he's gone through his training, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, to just watch over him as he makes his trip, bring him safely to where you would have him, Lord, and to help him grow as well. Help him to continue to learn so that he can bring that to the people that you would you lead him to, Lord. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we are so grateful that we're able to offer him up, and that we have this connection with him, and we hope that Lord, his work not only there, that it's fruitful, but that those that follow him here also would, just be just be blessed by it as well. In Jesus' name we pray.
Father, we come before you and we praise you for the relationship we have with Jezekiel, a brother in Christ that we are sending, Lord, to go where we do not know, yet know. But you do, Lord. You know the team he'll work with. You know the members of the organization that will support him and make sure he's able to do the work that you've set before him. Lord, we praise you that there are those that are there. And Lord, while we are here, let us not forget him. Let us always remember that it is our prayer, our lifting out of him, that partakes and participates with him in the journey that he is taking. Lord, we praise you for his spirit, his love, his joy. And Lord, we pray that you would be glorified through that all. And Lord, we pray that as his adventure continues in you, that you would be pleased to use him to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Father, for this church. This is your church. This is your body that you died on the cross to present holy and righteous at the end of time. And Father, we are called to take the message of Jesus Christ to the world. And we send Jezekiel to do that now. Not because he is an awesome person that has these amazing gifts, but because you are an awesome God. And you have blessed him and given him grace to persevere. Lord, we ask for the same grace in our lives, the same commitment. We want to hold so strongly to your word that we cannot help but speak of our love for Jesus Christ. Father, as we send him, we pray your blessing on his mission to take that message, to take it to the lost people who've never heard the name Jesus Christ before. Give him strength and courage. Most of all, give him faith. Faith that you accomplish this task, not him. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do you want to have to say something?
Sure.
Do you want to say something?
Thank you so much. You know, it's such a privilege and an honor to be here with you guys as my home church. And I'm definitely going to miss you guys as I'm on the other side of the world. But knowing that you guys are in this with me is such a joy, such a privilege. And really appreciate you guys taking the time to share this morning as well and to pray with me as well. Ever since 6 years ago, as Carl was sharing, you know, first meeting the church here and getting to plug in with some of the different roles here as well, and then now to be able to take that overseas and that thing of discipleship. And that was something that I was really privileged to have Pastor Dom mentor me on a weekly, bi-weekly basis for the last 6 years, and ever since he moved on to Pennsylvania, we've still maintained phone calls to be able to continue that too, and that's been such a blessing for me. And then to be able to come back here and to be able to have solid conversations and you know, deep, meaningful conversations with many of you guys as well. So as I go to Papua New Guinea, as I mentioned there with the arrow illustration in the video, that there's the arrowhead, those that go out to do the church planning in the remote locations. There's the shaft, the different support roles, the different training centers, and all the support roles that help enable that to go forward. And there's the sending church, the home church. And there's a passage I want to read just real quick from Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and the first part of 15. It says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" And that's what we're doing right now. You guys are sending me forth to be able to go to preach, to be able to reach those people so that they can hear, so that they can believe. And that's something that we're doing over in Papua New Guinea. And that's something that we're doing here in Chelsea as well. And I'm going to challenge you guys to continue to do that in your personal lives, here as a church, here in Chelsea, Michigan, the U.S., and around the world, just like the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. And as you guys may have noticed, there's a table in the back. I've got a number of different things back there. Some of them are certificates just to kind of show through the past 6 years of you guys tracking with me in this training to prepare to go overseas. There's just a few certificates to show the progression of that training. There's also a guest book for comments, encouragement, and verses. And I would encourage you guys to please write a note in there. That's something that I'll be able to look back at over the years. And then throughout the years, too, if you guys want to send me cards or care packages, emails, phone calls, those kinds of things will really help with staying connected. And then I've got prayer cards, brochures, and some other stuff scattered on the table as well. So feel free to check that out. For those who have not signed up for my newsletter update, I've got the sign-up sheet on the far right as well. So thank you guys so much.